Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game. To my left, Chris and Weasel, ready to bring you Super Bowl action. Super Bowl 37, that's right. The great American holiday known as the Super Bowl. And the reason why Americans still know what Roman numerals mean. That's right, the Super Bowl. What is it? XLIX? Whatever. The point is, it's 37. That's what we're trying to get to anyways. And Super Bowl 37, look, there's no... If you've not seen it yet, you live under a rock, you're probably listening to this too, already noting the result. That would be the Ravens over the 49ers in a pretty close battle. 34-31, the final score. Chris predicted the score correctly, unfortunately had the wrong teams. And, well, the way it worked out last week in our picks, Weasel and Chris... You guys picked the 49ers, I remember correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
Yep.
Okay. I picked the Ravens just for the sake of the contest. And after watching the guy's example with the, hey, if I pick against my team, if my team wins, I'm happy. If my team loses, I still have that to go on. So I stole from that and went for that game and did the only thing I could to stay in the competition. Ravens win, three-way tie. Never happened before. Of course, this is only the third year we've been doing it, but never happened before. And I am still undefeated in the study hall. How do you like me now? Trash talk, trash talk, trash talk. No, I mean, you know, that game was all over the place again. And, you know, I'll tell you this. There's a lot of talk of the Ravens being the better team and all this other stuff. I'll say this. Atlanta deserved to beat the Niners more than the Ravens did. Not to say that the Ravens didn't deserve it, or I'm not going to go get all that ridiculous, but that game, what was the differential? 3 points? I think it was closer than that. I mean, that can certainly be argued. Anyways, before we get into the game, there's a little bit of business I have to handle. A good friend of mine actually placed a bet of $55 in week 4 in a survival league. I'm not exactly sure the rules of the survival league, but he kept picking his picks right every week, and if he picked the Super Bowl and won the pot, I told him I would give him a shout on the air, and he indeed won $5,500. That's 5500 for picking the Ravens correctly and ending his streak. So, Jarrett, big props to you pulling in that $5,500. There's your shout out, just like I promised. I will see you on Saturday at our Flag Football League just to make sure that you actually listen to the show to hear if I shouted you out. And, yeah. Blue blobs and all that. See, that's how I'm going to test them. It's like, did you hear what else I said? What I say at the end. Otherwise, I don't know if you listened to it. See, I got him now, right? Anyways, let's get into the non-game stuff. Let's get into the generic fan stuff of the Super Bowl. And, of course, that means commercials. Usual format, as we usually get the top two or three in here just for a little bit of variety. Gentlemen, look, I'll pose this to you guys. I thought this was a pretty mediocre year commercial-wise. What do you got?
Yeah, they were pretty bad. There's not that one memorable one.
Uh-huh.
It's just they just paid a lot of money for some crap. So
I paid $4 million. Listen, Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't even think it was mediocre. I think it was even worse than that.
Oh, dang. He's just saying, nah, yeah. Just nix on that. No, they still haven't really come up with one quite as good as the one they did with Brett Favre a few years back, and it was a commercial for the NFL. Where, you know, and they say something about some people just can't stay away, and then they show a picture of Brett Favre. I don't know. I thought that was hilarious. I really wish I could give you a website or something to go to see it, but I don't know. There still hasn't been anything that really has touched that since. But anyways, as we normally do, Weasel, lead us off. Who you got?
For the best, first is the Doritos Go commercial.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It didn't make my list, but it was pretty good.
I thought it was funny. And the Tide commercial with the Joe Montana stain.
That one was pretty good.
That one's good.
Yeah.
Somehow I missed that one.
It tied in with the Super Bowl.
Well,
what a Super Bowl tie-in?
You know, yeah, it tied in with the Super Bowl because you know, he was eating pizza and he dropped a piece of cheese or whatever on his jersey, on his Montana jersey. And when he pulled the cheese off, there's a picture of Montana.
Oh.
That left the stain. And then so he framed it up and... You know, he was having like Montana land at his house, and people can come in and see and everything like that.
Okay.
Know,
like, it's kind of like a Field of Dreams kind of thing. Well, hey, in that case, I wouldn't be using Tide.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Well, it went to Tide because he came over and he looks up at his frame and his jersey is gone. And he's like, he goes, where's my jersey? And she's wearing a Ravens jersey and said, I washed it for you.
Son of a. I mean, how would that have worked if it was, I mean, you'd have to do that, first of all, because the Ravens were wearing the white jersey last night, but, I mean, they don't have a Montana-esque figure. Well, I mean, I guess they do now, what, with the Rayoffs being over. See what I did there? Because it sounds like play, but it's Ray, because all they've been talking about is this freaking guy. And, well, you know, I want to get this out of the way really quick, too. Well, now let's finish the commercial segment first. So we got the Tide, the Joe Montana Tide stain. We got the, what was the other one, Weasel?
Doritos.
Oh, right, the goat, of course, which it was cute. It set the stage. I think that set the bar, and then the things that beat that in my mind is what I kind of picked. But, and what was your last one? Did you have a last one?
The Clydesdale one? That one was just a feel-good commercial.
That's what they do. I mean,
sappy one. That's what Budweiser's been doing for years.
I mean, the Clydesdale commercial is getting to be a, I guess I'll say tradition. I know that sounds kind of cheesy at this point. But they still, I like the whole thing they did with the Clydesdale and the Fire Dog.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you're not going to beat that. It's a rebuilding year for the Clydesdale commercial. It wasn't bad. I'm not going to say that. But no, it's certainly an honorable mention. Chris, who you got?
I had the Tide Miracle Stain on that. But then I had the M&M's ones. I won't do that. You know, it's kind of dumb, but I was watching again today, and then just towards the end, he's like, I won't do that, I won't do that. And then at the end, when she's like trying to bite his head, and it's like, I won't do that, but I kind of like it.
Well, so, I'm not into biting head. Right, anyway, so what I'm trying to get into is I like what it was trying to do. I think it's an execution problem. For some reason, meatloaf, okay. I don't know.
And it's just. There wasn't that many to pick from. And then the other one I had was the Oreo Whisper fight in the library.
Oh, yeah. That's
what I thought that was pretty funny.
Hey, I'm the cops. You have to listen. Into a bullhorn. He's whispering. That was hot. I don't care. Not to mention, there is the part where you're trying to remember who executed the advertisements. And two dudes going, cookie, cream. What the hell else can it be?
Right.
I'm just saying. Hurley, what should it be called? Oreo. That was your line. You missed it, dude. I shouted your name and everything. Really? That's designed for you. It's like as if some surf shop came out with a line of clothing that had Hurley written all over it. It's like, oh, wait. Anyways, what else you got, Chris?
Let's see what else. The Hyundai team with the kids.
Oh, the thing with the
ball. They took the ball and, you know, like, come back with the team. He's like, all right. And he goes and gets the guys and they're little kids, like bench pressing everything, guys. Little kid carrying a grown man out of a fire.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Comes back, and then at the end, they're like, they saw two different versions of it.
Yeah.
You know, last night, you know, they threw the ball towards him, and he threw it back and knocked the kid over. That was last night's, and this one this morning, I saw again today. They're like, touch or tackle, and before he could even say tackle, the kids that came back with him say tackle.
To tackle. Yeah, I like it. I like it. Well, and one other thing. Let me touch on the I Won't Do That commercial with M&M's. That's a Sprite commercial. That's already happened. Like, you know, it shows him giving up various things to the girl, and, like, it's playing that. And I would do it. And then he reaches for his Sprite. Or it might have been 7-Up. I don't remember now. Failed advertisement.
All right.
This is years ago, so I guess I'll cut him some slack. And then she reaches to steal his Pepsi, or his Pepsi, his
some kind of soda.
Yeah,
whatever kind
his
of soda.
Soda. We'll say that. And then when she reaches to take it, that's when I won't do that. And then he takes it and just kind of runs out. You know, I won't do it. I don't know. The point is, it's been done, and that one was better. That's all I'm getting at. The one that you guys didn't mention, because I also had the Oreo library fight. There was some elements of slapstick and silly, and it was smart. And at the end, hey, where are the cops? I'm like, oh my god, that was funny. But the Coke chase was ridiculous.
That's the one I forgot about.
Yeah, that was awesome. So you got different. You got some cowboys riding in the desert. You got some guy with a camel. Then you got this whole Mad Max Road Warrior thing. And then you got a bus full of show dancers. Where I don't know where that fits in, but I'll tell you what. A cannon full of confetti shooting at guys. That was funny. I don't know why. That made me laugh. But then they see the big Coke oasis in the middle of the desert. They're all like, race for it. And it was a Coke chase, if you will. And they're all chasing it. And then they get to it. And then it says, 10 miles that way. So, and then what they ended up doing is, and they made it a thing where you could vote online on who's supposed to win the race and all that. I didn't do the crack in-depth research to follow up on that. But for my money, that was, I mean, that was a very entertaining commercial. And I thought it was the best one on the night. And, well,
They got the, like, the Palestinians on the camels or whatever that were there.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't vote for them.
Why?
I don't know. They're, know someone that works in the advertising agency. So he was last night during the Super Bowl. He was working, analyzing the commercials. And he said half of them, you know, missed their cue. But
interesting.
He went to CokeChase.com and then look and vote, and you can only vote for like three of the teams.
That's dumb. They had at least five.
Right.
Whatever.
So
it's a sham.
Right. You know, Oreo did have a good ad in there during the Super Bowl with the blackout picture saying you can still dunk in the dark.
You can't front on that. I mean, that was one of several funny things written about that on Twitter. One of them being Payton. That's PAYTON, as in Sean Payton's revenge. And it showed a Photoshop picture of him with a maniacal laugh throwing off the power. I thought that was funny. Buffalo Wild Wings. What was it? They got involved with
Buffalo
that.
Wild Wings was pretty good, too. See, we don't want football season to end. Sorry, we just had to do it.
Yeah, I know. And we're already dealing with that bittersweet concept where not only was, I mean, it was a great game, and it was the American holiday that is the Super Bowl, but unfortunately now football season's over. I mean, hell, gentlemen, even we're going on hiatus for the next 3 weeks. You know, hey, we are human. You know, we have wives. Chris has kids. Weasel's trying, I guess. I don't know. Well, at least that's the excuse he gives to get some more from his wife. Anyways, but Weasel's like, stop it. This is awkward.
Yeah. That's a different show after 10 o'clock.
Hi-yo! Anyways, so now that I've talked about scoring, let's talk about football.
You don't want to talk about the bad commercials?
Yeah, fine. I just wanted to make the scoring in football jokes. Yeah. But what do you got for the bad, Weasel?
I got the Volkswagen commercial with the guy speaking with a Jamaican accent.
for a German company, I'd say the same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't have it on my list, though, because there's so many other bad ones.
I was like, what? Okay, the Budweiser Black Crown ones, those were just normal commercials. Nothing really special.
They were just introducing new beers like Budweiser's been doing the last couple of years. Like, last year they did the Bud Light Platinum.
Platinum, right.
And yeah, you don't hear anything else now. Now they got the
Select and Lime, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And the GoDaddy one.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
The model and the nerd, it was like, it was funny, but they overdid it.
You didn't need to zoom in.
Yeah, exactly. And get, like, sound effects with it. No.
No, I got you. But here's the thing. I'll be real. I don't want to see that either. And my dad made the joke. I guess you didn't hear, Chris, but my dad made the joke. What would Chris do if Anna goes up to him and goes, Daddy, what are they doing? I'm like, I'd be stumped, too. I don't know. What would you say? No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But I mean, but the truth of it is, pushing the envelope like that is what GoDaddy does. I mean, this is the one who, like, that started it all years back in a Super Bowl commercial where a spaghetti string on the model popped off. Didn't show anything, but the idea was to make fun of a wardrobe malfunction that occurred in the Super Bowl previous. Of course, we all remember freaking Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. You were leaning over to try to remind me. I didn't forget. See, but I like it. That's good. That's good. Backing me up. I like that. But and so this is their MO. If you're shocked by this happening with a GoDaddy commercial, you're doing it wrong. But that being said, it was dumb. I didn't really want to see it. But GoDaddy is remembered for it. So bad commercial, successful advertising. Fine line. Anyways, what else you got?
Well, that's what I got.
Oh, you didn't.
Those were my three.
Chris.
Yeah, I have. Some people thought this one was pretty good. I thought it was a waste of time, was the Ram truck with the farmers.
Okay. Who said it was good?
Well, I was looking online. There was just a couple different websites had them as one of the best commercials. I thought it was stupid because you're spending 2 minutes. This commercial was over 2 minutes long.
Which, for the record, let's see. That's four segments of 30 seconds.
Yeah, it is in the four
million dollars.
No, it's less because it was in the fourth quarter, so it's probably like $500,000 each. So they spent probably like $2 to $4 million Because it goes in the Super Bowl. It's from the beginning of the game, first quarter. That's where the pricing is high.
Okay.
And then it starts tapering off towards the end.
Hmm.
And so it could be about like $1 million every 30 seconds. So let's say
only
about $4 million.
Only a million.
Right.
My bad.
That's
but they spent 2 minutes talking about farmers and not even mentioning a truck. And then at the end, they show the truck.
You know,
Ram truck.
And I got to be honest, I like the concept, but 2 minutes. I mean, look, I can't hold Weasel's attention for 2 minutes with a shiny keychain and a noisemaker. No, I'm just kidding, Weasel. But, I mean, your wife can hold your attention for 2 minutes. I understand that.
Right.
I'm not going to say how. That's not for the show. But what I'm getting at is you expect a member of this audience to pay attention for 2 minutes to a speech that was even boring. And let's be honest, in the room I was in, I couldn't really hear most of it because my dad was talking, Chris was talking, Donnie was talking, I was probably talking. How are you going to hear all that? I don't know. Anyways.
Dude, it's because it lost your attention when it goes, on the eighth day, God needed someone to do this and, you know, something else. And I kept talking and talking and talking. And you're like,
and I've been all like,
what are you talking about?
Ray Lewis has been talking about God for the past 3 weeks. Now commercials do it. I'm just kidding.
All right. And it's like, okay, what are you doing? And then at the end, they show a Ram truck. It's like, okay, so I got to, this is, you know, only farmers can get a Ram truck.
Yeah, I think the commercial was way too long. And early on in the commercial, you kind of got, oh, okay, this is cool. But it kept on going and going and going.
For 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
Seems more like it should have been an Energizer commercial because it kept going and going. See, that joke was funnier than that commercial. No.
And then,
I know it wasn't trying to be funny, but anyways.
And then the Bex Sapphire beer one with a fish swimming around a bottle singing.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell? Yeah. You're like, what kind of commercial was that? Yeah, that's how not important that one was.
And I couldn't have told you it was Bex, so it was a bad commercial and an advertiser failed.
And then I also say a lot of the car commercials.
Well.
Tons of car commercials had nothing to do with the car.
Yep.
I mean, why should we talk about the car?
Except for the Audi one at the beginning of the game. The one that with the prom, that he goes in the prom. That one was kind of funny.
It was pretty funny.
That one was kind of funny. It didn't make my top five or whatever, but it was kind of funny.
I don't know.
And then the Got Milk with the Rock.
That was cute. That one was better than the prom commercial. That one was better than the one with Amy Poehler for sure. That was a waste of space. Then they were hyping up Tracy Morgan in this whole thing where he was, I don't remember
the Myo or whatever.
Myo.
Yeah. Or
Myo, whatever it is. That thing where you pour it in the thing and you drink
water,
and that's an advertising fail. I mean, you got a dude as crazy as Tracy Morgan, and he doesn't even do anything remotely crazy. At least last year, I think it was last year, could have been 2 years ago, where Eminem did the Brisk commercial, they had a bleep word in there to make it somewhat edgy because they had Eminem in the commercial.
That was at least 2 years ago.
Okay, I think it was 2 years ago. But the point is, you got Tracy Morgan, it's got to have some edge. If you didn't, you failed because he's not credible. He's known for being crazy. If you listen to the local radio station here in Orlando, the question they'll ask comedians when they come in and talk about being on the improv at Point Orlando is, so have you met Tracy Morgan? And if they say yes, how crazy? Is that for real? Do you think that's for real that he's that crazy? That they are obsessed with it. And, you know, I don't mean to say that Orlando radio show is a microcosm for the entire nation, but I don't know. Just listen to Jay Moore talk about him on his show because he does talk about him and a lot of other stuff more than he talks about sports and poorly. Oh, sorry. That was supposed to be an internal dialogue. Anyways, so that being said, we talked about the commercials, the halftime show. Look, I don't have a lot to say. It was Beyonce. I was not interested in the first place. And then she started singing Single Ladies and I left the room. I won't say what I was doing, but it wasn't pleasant. Weasel.
It was pretty cool that they... Beyonce brought back the Destiny's Child. Yeah, they had that. That was pretty cool.
That is worth mention if you're into Beyonce. That's a bad choice of words. If you follow Beyonce, that's probably not a good choice of words either. But what I'm getting to is if you're at all familiar with Beyonce, the Destiny's Child thing, okay, that makes sense. But sing some of the Destiny's Child song, and they really sang the one that... It was popular, but it was the least good. Like, where's some bills in there? Can you pay my bill? I'd have been all about... No, I'm just kidding. but I don't know. At least with Madonna, You had the last year. You had the whole, okay, she's 50. Can she do it? And she did. I'm like, yep, it's Beyonce. Oh, she's wearing something skimpy. I'm so shocked. Oh, she's singing Single Ladies. I'm out. You know, I don't know. You guys got anything, Chris?
Yeah, no. I didn't even care for it. I didn't even watch it.
Yeah, well, I know your dad and your brother were watching The Simpsons during the halftime show, so I couldn't get a vote from them.
I was too busy cutting up the Baltimore pit beef there.
There you go.
So.
Well, I'll put it this way. I think they missed the market as far as music associated. Like, I would expect Beyonce to be the halftime of, like, the halftime of, like, NBA Finals Game 7 or something like that. Because that's a better fit. When I'm getting ready to play basketball, something with a beat, you know, maybe hip-hop-ish, I don't know, makes sense. Don't ask me why. I'm sure I'll be getting emails telling me the reason why that's true, whatever. But when it's a football game, you need something with an electric guitar. You need something that'll just, you know, it's more of a rock feel. And, you know, and what can I say? I was a band nerd for most of my life, so this is a topic I pay attention to. But, like, what they've had in the past, like Bruce Springsteen, that was nice. The Who, lame concert, but I get what they were going for.
U2.
Close. Yeah. At least they had an electric guitar. I thought they missed the mark, too, but...
Yeah. They did that. They did that a long time. Well, they did U2, I think, what, twice in the last decade? A little over a decade?
No, I'm not.
Because, I mean, they did the one right after 9/11, and they had all the names up on the board. Which
was no, that wasn't The Who. That was Paul McCartney.
Oh, it was U2, I thought.
No, that was Paul McCartney. Yeah. I can tell you that without a fact, because I cheated and watched the NFL Network. they did the America's game of that, and they show him at the beginning, you know, singing the thing with the names coming down or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, we were talking about a Super Bowl with the Patriots, but there was no Tom Brady in this one, so that's something to be happy about. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Anyways, now that I'm done bitching about halftime shows, what do you say we actually talk about some bloody football? What do you say, gentlemen? So the opening to Super Bowl 37, Niners had the ball first, which, I mean, look, I'll put it this way. If I won the toss, I'd have the Niners come out first, too. Because think about it in the other playoff games, gentlemen. Niners opened the Packers game for the divisional playoff. What happened?
Slow start.
More specific than slow start. Kaepernick throws a pick six, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? They're down 7 points to start early. Then Kaepernick ties him back up. There was a point in that game where Kaepernick was responsible for both touchdowns. That simple. Then the Niners proceeded to, you know, spank more ass than, you know, a nanny in a school full of bad behaving children, right? You know, that was kind of a reach on the analogy, but you see where I'm going. Then the Atlanta game. I'm going to ask you again. And I'll take this. I'm queuing you up, Weasel. What happened to start the Atlanta game?
The pick six?
Well, no, the slow start would have been correct.
Three and out.
Well, three and out. They suffered the only sack in the game, I believe.
Yeah, three straight passes, pass plays.
But more specifically, at one point, they were down 17-0. Yeah. How's your line go, Weasel? That's a lot.
Yeah.
We'll talk about a little bit later, but they started slow. So, first of all, I'm going to say it right now. John Harbaugh. I'll do it this way. Pop quiz. Better coach last night. Which Harbaugh won the coaching battle? I'm going to start with Chris.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one a little bit because I think some of the play calling that the Niners had in the red zone were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of has the taste. So I would have to go with John on that one just because of the play calling in the red zone.
Weasel.
For the Niners.
Yeah, I didn't. The last drive, they did take it downfield and all, but I just didn't like those last couple play calls. So
another red zone struggle.
Yes. So I agree.
I, too, pick John, and I'll get into why a little bit later. Although his grabbing of his arm in a seemingly inappropriate fashion, but when you put it in context, asking for the holding call is a vision. That image is what we're going to see for years, as him grabbing his arm, begging for that holding call that occurred, and we'll get into that later, rest assured. But at any rate, so the game opens. The Niners start out slow, and it was really kind of a metaphor for the entire game for the 49ers. Great play to Vernon Davis, but they shot themselves in the foot. I think it was Crabtree lined up, covering up the center, covering up the tight end. So what was it looked like about a
20-yard play.
I was about to say 20-yard pass, and yeah, I'm looking at the play-by-play here. It indeed was, and now it's a 5-yard penalty instead. Shooting themselves in the foot was something that the Niners did profusely in this game, and you know, we'll get into it in a little bit more detail coming up, but what I'm getting at is then immediately after that, so they run Frank Gore, he got stopped. Then again, Niners have an excellent play. Delanie Walker makes a catch, called out of bounds. Again, open fire on foot. Pah! You know, it's interesting. In the Packer game I just mentioned, the Niners shot themselves in the foot once. In the Falcon game, they might have shot themselves in the foot 2 or 3 times. Well, in this game, it seems to me like they emptied the friggin' clip. And we'll talk more about that as we go. So, the Ravens then take the field afterward. They're moving pretty strong. Dennis Pitta was a factor early in the game. He did pretty solid. You got numbers for Dennis Pitta there, Weasel?
Yeah, Dennis Pitta, he was 4 for 26 and a touchdown.
So, you know, not a big receiving number, but, you know, he did what a check down was supposed to do. And I'll tell you this, though. The first pass was complete to Vonte Leach. Okay, that was a smart strategy. First long pass was completed by who, gentlemen? Torrey Smith. Called it! Not for nothing. And you know, he wasn't going to get MVP honors because he didn't have the numbers for it. And receivers don't get MVPs for the most part, unless you're Hines Ward and you know, were involved with a play where, you know, a touchdown pass was thrown by a receiver, then you might get a vote. But I knew if I mentioned a receiver not getting an MVP, you'd bring that up, Weasel. So I got you, dog. We're good. So their first score early on was a field goal. It's
Baltimore's early score was a touchdown.
It was a touchdown. Thank you. Yeah, and I did want to bring this up because they opened up the game with a touchdown, and he hits Anquan Boldin on a pass. Look, Anquan Boldin's awesome. I'm not going to front on that. Don't act like Flacco made a great throw or anything like that. He hit Boldin on a pass where I felt like Boldin was pretty open. But the play previous, 3rd and 9. Third and nine. Pass was to Dennis Pitta. Incomplete. There's a offsides penalty on the Niners defense on Ahmad Brooks, who was lined up in the defensive tackle spot on this particular play. Now, gentlemen, the defensive tackle, where are they located?
Right over the ball.
Right over the ball. What is the one thing they shouldn't be doing? I'm just saying. Shot in the foot to open up the friggin' game. You see, I was joking about this microcosm the entire game being in the first play.
And going back to Anquan Boldin, one catch.
Yeah.
They've run that same play the last 3 weeks.
Oh, and they killed the Patriots with it.
And with this one, all it is Boldin lining up in the slot, and he's just running right down the seam. And the corner or linebacker or whoever in safety just let him run right by him.
Right. They're trying to take it. If it's a zone if it's a zone defense, they're trying to take advantage of that. Or if Bolton's lining up in the slot, chances are he's lining up against a guy against whom he has more skill or is stronger than. Whereas, let's put it this way. I like Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis too. But I'm not going to like their odds in a pass coverage versus Anquan Boldin. And you shouldn't. It's that simple.
Yeah, but I don't think it was either of them. I think they had a corner on their
own. No, and then okay, and then that was the next part too. Yeah. If it's a corner covering him, Bolden's going to out-muscle him. It's kind of like what Vernon Davis did all night. Right. That's right. I said, you got numbers for Vernon Davis there, Weasel?
Yep. Let's see.
I got it. It's 6 for 104.
Yeah, that's pretty busy, and that's not counting a couple that were in his hands down the field, and he just missed
that 40-yarder.
Yeah,
that was big. Yeah.
They still scored on.
They still scored on. And the next
play,
didn't
score. They didn't score that. They get down there because I think it was the last series.
It was the last series. Crabtree ended up making a big play the next play anyway, so it did kind of cancel it out. So if they did have it, it would have been nice. But
he wouldn't have scored on it.
No. Heavens no. Yeah. Anyways, so the Niners come out and the first drama of the night occurs. David Akers lines up for the 36-yard field goal. I was sure he was going to miss it. I'm not lying to you. And he proves me wrong. So, I mean, I'll give it this. David Akers had a good night where he hasn't for a larger part of the season. I mean, ever since, look, I get it. He had the 63-yarder, or was it 65? 65-yarder to open the season against the Packers where he thung off the crossbar and threw. I'm not fronting on that. That was a great kick. After that, it's kind of iffy. I'm just saying. So then the Ravens get a hold of the ball again after the field goal. They score again. We got a 14-3. It's looking a lot like the Falcons game, and I'm getting a little worried as a 49ers fan and all that. But, oh, I skipped right over it. Shoot. Yeah. Excuse me. So after the field goal, Niners stop the Ravens. Ravens punt it to the Niners. Niners have the ball. First turnover of the game occurs. LaMichael James fumble. Now, let me be clear. There was a face mask on this play. And I've already had to correct two people on this. It's not Courtney Upshaw I'm talking about. Courtney Upshaw is the one who forced the fumble, and he did kind of hit LaMichael James high in the head. But that's because LaMichael James was already spun around and making some moves and all that and pretty low in the first place. That's not what I'm talking about. Oh, they show it in slow motion. It's obviously not a face mask. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Danelle Ellerbe, number 59, who previous to the slow motion, very conveniently, has his hand and rips the head of LaMichael James. And after that, Upshaw hits him. Haven't seen any slow motion on that, but that is the first of referee and officiating blundery, buffoonery, if you will, that occurred on the night throughout. Weasel, am I harping too much on the officials?
You're good.
Okay. We were talking before the show. Weasel is my harpometer.
All right, right now, we still got 30 minutes, so still could get up there.
Well, that's why he's in place, yeah, I'm telling you. I don't know. I'm just... Anyways. So...
And Weasel, that's a costly fumble.
That's a costly
fumble.
I love it. I love it. Oh, man. You know, and
it was on the Baltimore 24, so...
Yeah.
I don't know. So... Weasel, kind of, not Weasel, Chris, walk me through real quick. Did you think it was a face mask? Just so I'm not on the harpometer. So someone else.
I think it was a face mask just because how he was running and how he got spun around.
Yeah, you saw that too?
That's the only way you could see is if he got, the only way it wouldn't be a face mask is if he had the helmet, which still is called with the face mask.
As it should be, because right. He grabbed on. I mean, grabbing onto the inside of the helmet is a face mask as well. Check the rule book. You know, I don't know.
All right. So the way he spun, and that's how he was going down to the ground when Courtney Upshaw hit him.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't put it any better. So after that, another touchdown ensues there for the Ravens. Amazingly enough, wasn't Bolden. But I feel like they used Bolden to set up one Dennis Pitta. While it was not his best catch on the night, the best catch on the night he made was one where Joe the Foul Flacco. Why are you calling him the Foul? Well, first of all, because Philip Rivers is already the Fraud. More on that later. But the Foul. A duck is a foul. And the way this guy relies on ducks to win is infuriating. I don't know if September through February is duck season for hunters, but as far as Joe Flacco is concerned, it sure as hell is. He lobs a ball in obvious trouble, just flings it up in the air. Dennis Pitta comes running back at least 5 or 10 yards to make the catch. And someone's like, oh, that was a great play. You're trying to tell me you thought that was designed? Are you high? Does anybody else know the play I'm talking about?
I thought there was a long one to Bolden that I was thinking about.
No,
that's not what I'm going.
That wasn't Bolden.
And it wasn't Bolden. But that was a duck, too. We'll get to that later. Anyways. No, we'll get that. It's okay, Weasel. We'll get there. It's a score. We have to talk about it. Anyway, so Dennis Pitta scores the touchdown, which was a very creative play. They used Bolden to set up Pitta, and not even Flacco needed to throw a duck for this throw. It was right there. Zip, boom, touchdown. Great play. I'm not fronting on it. It was a great call.
I think an inch to the right or to the left, it would have been deflected, too. Right through the defender's arms. No, I'm on the D lineman.
Oh, you mean D-lineman. At the line. Yeah. Okay, about to say, no, it was pretty open down the field.
No, D lineman.
Okay, fair enough. Right, so that was all great and well. So we have the...
It's 14-3.
Thank you.
All right, Niners get the ball back.
And then, well, Kaepernick throws an interception. Now, I'm going to defer to you guys because my judgment was the reason why that interception happened was because Randy Moss quit on the route. Did anybody else see that?
And as I was stating to you, I wasn't sure if it was Randy Moss, but it was someone quit on the route. So well, I guess it was 84. Randy Moss since it was before. I didn't see what the number was.
And so. He didn't even make an effort to, bat it off because the pass was overthrown.
It's because he quit. He stopped.
It came out high. I don't know. I don't know if it was overthrown. You know what? You're right. It was overthrown.
But he didn't even try.
Yeah. So. I mean, that I don't know. You're going to declare you're the greatest receiver of all time playing for the team who actually housed the greatest receiver of all time, and then you're going to stand there like paper mache and expect us to take you seriously. Oh, by the way, Randy Moss is going to be playing next year. I'm hoping it's not in the 49ers jersey. But hey, who else is going to take him? The Patriots won't. The Vikings won't. I don't know. You think Tom Coughlin wants him in New York there, Chris? I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, not the Giants. We don't really need a receiver.
That's a true statement. Yeah.
As we shipped one off, Mario Manningham, to you guys until
hurt. Not for nothing, he would have been very useful in this game.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, my God. I remember that guy. Yeah.
Stop it. This time last year, made a pretty important catch. You might remember that.
Yeah.
Anyways, that interception, now, you know, I'm not claiming any ref buffoonery or anything like that, but that's just one of those plays you hate to see. And because of that, I have to listen to people talk about Flacco being better than Kaepernick. We'll talk about that a little later. But, so we're getting into it a little further there. They score a touchdown. Or no, they didn't score a touchdown off that. Excuse me.
No.
So then they go down the field.
Yeah, they went for a field goal.
No, they didn't, actually.
Formation.
They formed like they were going to the field, going for a field goal, and then the kicker proceeded to run. So I'll go to my king of circus football here. Weasel, your thoughts on the fake field goal?
I think it would have been better if it was like 5 yards or 4 yards, but you have...
Nine?
Yeah, I believe it was Longwell, and a...
Longwell.
Justin Tucker.
Tucker, my bad. He had a long way to go, and he got 8 yards, but didn't get the first.
And, you know, first of all, not for nothing, how psyched are you as a defensive player to get an opportunity to open up on a kicker? I mean, I haven't seen a hit like that since Jeremiah Trotter went after Jeff Fiegels in an Eagles-Giants game a number of years ago. I'm just saying. So, yeah, so there was that. I personally thought it was some Bush League crap, and I was very glad to see it fail. But as it would stand... The Niners would punt it away, and that fake field goal ended up setting up a good field position, you might say, where the pass you're thinking of, thrown up by Joe the Foul Flacco, to one Jacoby Jones. Now, the infuriating part of this is the reason why the Ravens are even in this game is because there was a duck flung up with less than a minute and a half left. Less than a minute, I think, even.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Yeah. Against the Broncos in ugly fashion, where Jones had to stop and wait for the ball, caught it, and then scored a touchdown. In this one, Jacoby Jones had to in mid-stride again. He practically fell down trying to adjust to catch the ball. The duck thrown by Joe the Foul Flacco. I'm liking that. You the Foul? You like that?
Okay.
Weasel? You feeling it?
I got it.
Okay. And, catches the ball, able to get back up because the defenders are like, dear Christ, how did he catch it? Now, I'll grant, Jacoby Jones did get behind the secondary. But I'll tell you what, if Joe Flacco's this elite quarterback that I'm supposed to believe he is just because he has a Super Bowl ring and he's the best Raven quarterback to win a Super Bowl, when the competition is Trent Dilfer, I'm still unimpressed.
I was about to bring up Trent Dilfer.
I mean, Kerry Collins played in the Super Bowl too. Don't mean he's elite. I'm just saying. Anyways, so Jacoby Jones... gets up, puts a move off an defender, and then beats the safety in the end zone, touchdown. At that point, it's looking pretty rough. If you're a Niner fan, or if you were hoping for a good game, 21-6 at this point.
It's 21-3 at that point.
You're right, 21-3. The Niners finished the half with a field goal, leaving some semblance of dignity in the game there. Thank you for the correction, Chris. So, you know, the first half, very obvious that the Ravens dominated. And we're going into the third quarter. And, oh, by the way, Jacoby Jones, once again, 108 yards? Damn. First of all, go ahead, Weasel.
Jacoby Jones doesn't care about player safety.
He doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't think safety first. See, not just player safety, but like if like he gets hit in the end zone, it's a safety. And no. Anyways, okay. No, you were trying to talk about
it. Wouldn't be
serious.
A safety if he was hit in the end zone because it'd be a touchback.
But if he runs out of the end zone
if
first,
runs and then comes back, yeah, it's a safety. But
okay.
But I called it last. with that kick, the Akers right there, that line drive. I called it one a kick. I'm like, that's not good. That's a line drive kick.
Yeah. Well, not to mention. I don't know what happened. I don't know whether people stayed in lanes or what. But first of all, one guy takes a bad angle and misses the tackle, and that would be the only guy to touch Jacoby Jones on said return. He goes bursting for 108. We've got 28-6, a 22-point differential. Now, I mentioned a break here rather than actually at halftime because that's when the lights went out. You know... all of the lights. No, not so much, actually. Yeah. So there was a good 30 minutes. Have you guys heard what caused the power outage?
I don't know.
There was, I can't remember what it was. It was something else. I think it was outside the stadium.
No. So kind of like when the 49ers was hosting the Steelers in late 2011, a transformer blew outside the stadium and that cut the power on that. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways.
It was 34-minute power outage.
So while the power was out, the Niners surged to life afterwards. Colin Kaepernick finds Michael Crabtree for a 31-yard touchdown. And oh, by the way, it wasn't a duck. Just saying. I'm sorry. Was I harping, Weasel?
A little bit there.
Okay.
A little
bit, yeah. Keep me honest, dude. I'm just trying to tell you. Anyways. So then shortly after... the Ravens come out. They get stopped. It's another score by the 49ers. Lo and behold, what's going on here? Is this a comeback mounting? Well, they still got to get two more scores for it to matter. Oh, heck. Ray Rice. Hey, diddle diddle. The ball went a piddle on the floor. You done dropped it. You like that middle and piddle? Good rhyme. I thought so. That was from the hip.
Yeah.
So anyways, that fumble. I can't speak for the players, obviously, but I know watching that game, and being a 49er fan, that brought me to life when I saw that fumble. I'm like, wait, there's actual realism to this whole comeback thing. You know, I don't know. And that was a momentum shift in favor of the 49ers, to say the least, right?
Right.
So.
And what do they do the first play? They go for the end zone.
Oh, I see what you did there, yeah. Chris.
It was incomplete pass, but still, they took a shot saying, hey, we're down.
We ain't scared.
We're down by 8, 28-20. Let's take a shot.
That's right.
You know, and as it stood, while they didn't get a touchdown, they did manage a field goal. On the sun, 28-23, the Niners are for real.
His second field goal attempt on the drive, though.
He missed the first one. That. Right. Now, the very thing I had feared occurred on that kick. Chris could even vouch that I kind of gently tossed my phone when I saw him kick that ball, and it shanked like an FSU kicker had put something on it. They both have gold helmets. I thought it was an appropriate analogy. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, the only thing is this one went left, not right.
Yeah, well, there was one that went left for the FSU as well, but yeah. I digress. But running into the kicker was called. Now, there's been a particular friend of mine who's been on my case. I'm not going to call him out on the air. Roughing the kicker. Correct call, yes or no? Weasel.
Yeah, he did run into him. I mean, when...
He said roughing, not running.
That's it?
It was running.
It was running into the kicker.
Yeah. Running into the kicker.
I said it wrong.
I thought it was a good call.
I wouldn't have called roughing, no.
Not roughing, no. But the 5 yard was when a kicker kicks, he's vulnerable to injury. Because if someone runs into him, that could be pretty bad. But 5 yards was the right call, I think.
As a matter of fact, they did injure Akers on the play. Chris.
Yeah, I mean, they show it anyway. The same thing with kickers with quarterbacks, you know, they want to protect them. So running into the kicker, yeah, it's good.
And here's what it is. And the claim was, oh, the kicker wasn't even touched. Maybe not. But as with kickers and punters, it's the same for kickers. When they go in the air for a minute to let loose their kick, they have to be allowed to land. The defensive player did not account for that, contacted the kicker before he landed. By rule, That's roughing the kicker. So even if you don't think it should be, read the damn rule book. It's roughing the kicker. I'm sorry. You know, with some of the poor calling, the refs owe the Niners a few. Am I harping yet? They owe the Niners a few anyway. So that's one, and you still owe me three more that when he, or two more we haven't even talked about yet. Well, no, we did talk about the face mask. Anyways. So with that, 28 for 23, this comeback thing is looking like it's for real. Then the Ravens come in. They are held to a field goal by Justin Tucker. We have 31-23. 49ers come charging back down the field. Kaepernick scrambles for a 15-yard touchdown, the longest quarterback touchdown scoring run in Super Bowl history. 15 yards, really? Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
Longest scoring run.
Yeah, correct.
There's been a longer quarterback run. Just
right. Longest scoring run. I did say that, yes, right? Okay, good. Good, okay.
I just want to reiterate the scoring runs because everyone's like, no, this guy had 30 yards rushing. Yeah, but didn't go for a touchdown.
Boom. I'm just saying. Anyway, so now, Weasel, we'll go to our resident two-point conversion expert. Weasel, it's 31-29. The Niners opt to go for two. Thoughts?
12:54 left in the game. Well, now a little less than 12:54.
A lot of time left, and
Just under 10 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, I think they shouldn't have gone for it, but I think you're the other way you have to look at it is you have Akers, and I mean he's not really too dependable right there. So,
but and you just saw him shank one and need help to score his third field goal on the night. So I mean I see where you're going with that. That's a tough ass call. It's really the reason why I asked you. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
I don't know, Chris. What do you think?
Yeah, I even said you have to take the chance now. I mean, to tie it up there, because then if you tied it up, your defense is going to come out strong like they have been in the whole second half, and you know, put the pressure back on the Ravens that haven't really done much in the second half except for that, you know, Jacoby Jones kickoff return for a touchdown.
So,
it was a good call to go for it. It was a bad 2-point attempt. You know the Ravens are gonna blitz you. And the same thing with Steelers. Going for two, they're gonna come with eight guys.
I'll tell you what. It may have been a surprise they did it that time. Even though I like your logic of what you're saying, hey, this team's going to attack. That's what they do. You know, they're going to do what you're going to do because you guys are coached by the same friggin' coach and you're built pretty close to the same on defense. Not exactly, but pretty close. And I'm willing to bet that Jim Harbaugh would be aggressive. Attacking a two-point conversion himself.
All right.
And then he doesn't think that his brother might do that. See, and this is what we were talking about before, where I think John Harbaugh outcoached Jim. I'm just saying, guys, right? Am I onto something there? Anyways, it's radio, not TV, but they were both nodding, just so you know, guys. Anyways, so on a very strange thing, the spot was challenged on a particular first down. They were called back for the third and one. The Ravens ended up getting it anyway, but what I'm getting to is they kicked the field goal and got it. So now it's 34-29. A couple drives later, next drive, the Niners get the ball with 4:19 left, what would be their final drive of the game. Going down the field, you know, Kaepernick and Gore combined to shred this team up. 8-yard carry by Gore to open the drive. Kaepernick carries it 8 yards himself, reminding them, yeah, I'm still here, guys. Woo! A deep ball to Vernon Davis, the one we talked about earlier out of his hands, then immediately answered back when Crabtree catches a 24-yard pass. Gore shreds for a 33-yard run and puts them in the red zone at the Baltimore 7. And then, you know, a couple plays. We got first down in the red zone. And, well, actually, yeah, it's inside the 10. So, yeah, this is the last four plays. First, the first play they run with LaMichael James. Now, Chris, you didn't like that call. No, I did because it got a couple more yards forward. But go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't like it right up the middle. You're inside the 10 against the Ravens. You're not going to get anything up the middle.
Helody nada.
What you do is if you had done the play action with Kaepernick out the opposite way like he's been doing, the bootleg out, mm-hmm. you know, to get hit that corner. Or even just pretend that you're passing up there and just have him roll out afterwards because he's beating those defense ends. They couldn't keep up with him with his speed. You do that on your first down. Then maybe second down you come back because, you know.
Well, what appears to me is they never used, they never really seemed to use Vernon Davis in the red zone. I don't get that. No. Ray Rice has been, or Ray Rice, Ray Lewis has been abused all game and, trying to cover.
And last year with the, when the 49ers were in the championship game, the conference game, there was Vernon Davis getting that game-winning touchdown. It was, you guys remember that?
That's divisional playoff.
Divisional.
Against the Saints. Yeah, remember, the conference championship was that BS where the Giants won, although I'm still glad they beat the Patriots. Don't get me wrong, Chris. But, yeah, that I mean, that was he did, but that wasn't in the red zone either. That was a big play.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying? But, no, you're right. I mean, that did happen. And it's not that they didn't use Vernon Davis. He had six catches. He had two potential long balls that were catchable, but they were still tough catches. They weren't ducks, but I don't know.
You know what I would have liked to see on the first down is them out of the pistol.
Yeah,
with Delanie Walker and Bruce Miller back there, and had them go out to the flats and dump it to them. That would have been a touchdown.
And well,
they did not run that play at all. And they usually run that during the season.
Yeah.
Towards the end that you hit the fullback. Even when before they incorporated the pistol with Alex Smith, they always rolled the fullback out to the flat when they're inside. Usually they were 20. And they just went away with that in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was there was another pass to Crabtree which went incomplete. And there was another pass immediately after that went incomplete. So we're set up with 4th and 5 after that first down run. James Smith lines up on Michael Crabtree. Now, the great Deion Sanders, or Leon Sandcastle, according to the NFL world and the commercials during the Super Bowl, said that Crabtree initiated a contact to try to push him off. First of all, Jimmy Smith, number 22 for the Baltimore Ravens, initiated contact. He was the first one to touch Crabtree. And as Crabtree breaks outside, his other hand comes up then to grab on Crabtree. And Crabtree is trying to yank him off of him to get to the ball. As Jimmy Smith holds him in a part where if you could look up Jimmy Smith on the criminal database and see him as a sex offender with the way he held Michael Crabtree. Is that an inappropriate joke? My bad. But let's put it this way. To say that there wasn't a flag call, congratulations, ladies and gentlemen, or gentlemen, I should say, of the officiating crew. You got a $50,000 a year raise and a pension to blow the Super Bowl. Well done. Am I harping?
All right.
Okay. I thought that was an intelligent point.
It was. It was. He was being held up, and yeah, he didn't even have an opportunity to get him because the guy just grabbed his jersey and he was right on him.
So not only was he held while the ball was in the air, which is pass interference, he was face guarding as well, which you can't do in the NFL.
And there were also, this all occurred in the end zone. And I think that it was at the 7-yard line where they had
five.
So the 5-yard bump for the...
It happened in the end zone, so it had to be beyond 5 yards. Excellent point, Weasel.
Yeah,
so defensive holding and 2 counts of pass interference. 3 penalties missed. 3 fouls missed. Oh, I can't say foul. That's Joe Flacco. But people want to get on to me when I call out the officials and say I'm a Niners fan. I don't know. We had the discussion in the Steeler-Giants game where I went off on the officials for missing 2 bad calls on the same play, but I digress. I can attach the link if anyone really wants to hear it. But anyway, so with that,
those bad calls on that one, too. I wouldn't have run that play either.
Yeah.
Still.
Well,
that one,
no,
and then
well,
the third down when they rolled him out and they only had 2 receivers there.
Well, let's get back to that on the play calling. That's something I want to hit on. You saw in the 2-point conversion that the Ravens went all out blitz. Now you can argue that LaMichael James missed the hell out of a block on the old one, but LaMichael James was not lined up. I don't even think he had a running back that play. You know they're coming with the blitz.
No, he was empty backfield.
That's a mistake. You saw what they did on 2-point conversion to bring the kitchen sink blitz, as I like to call it, because they brought everything and the kitchen sink after the quarterback. I don't know. And then they come in with a weak protection and are shocked when Kaepernick is blitzed in a submission. Great defensive call for the Ravens, especially considering the empty backfield. Horrible coaching by Jim Harbaugh, who was out coached by his brother John.
As they were, as the Niners were 2 for 6 in the red zone.
Yeah,
the game.
I mean, look, it's that simple. Anyways, so with 5 minutes left, Weasel, can you give me the quarterback stats?
We got Joe Flacco, 22 of 33, 287 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs, sacked twice. So he did all right. And Colin Kaepernick was 16 of 28, 302 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT, sacked 3 times, did have 7 scrambles for 62 yards and a touchdown.
And a touchdown, thank you. Better quarterback performance. Weasel.
I'd have to say Flacco because he did stay turnover free.
I'm sorry? You're blaming Kaepernick for Randy Moss quitting?
Well.
Interesting. Chris.
I would go with Kaepernick on that because, you know, a little more yards, but also with the rushing ability of, you know, what he else added to the game.
You're entitled to your opinion. I'm just letting you know that ain't fair. Anyways, so the Super Bowl MVP was named to be Joe the Foul Flacco, and now we have to hear all this garbage about him actually being allegedly elite. I don't know. Is he your MVP for the Super Bowl, Weasel?
Between him and Jacoby Jones, I'd have to pick him.
Okay, so you gave me your top two, but you'd still pick Flacco.
Yeah.
I will not give you a hard time on the air because you're my boy and I love you. Chris.
I would go with Jacoby Jones over Flacco, but I'd give it to the officiating.
Duly noted. But since they've already gotten enough bonuses this year, right. I ain't handing them no trophy. I, too, have Jacoby Jones. Not just for catching the duck that saved the life, but that return made the difference, man. If he does not open the half with that, you're going to try and tell me that this was the same game? I just don't think so. You know, throughout the game, the Niners were in it. They just would either shoot themselves on the foot, and when they didn't, the refs did. That being said, I got no beef with the Ravens being the champions. You know, it's not so much that the Niners lost, it's that it was decided by officials in my mind entirely too much. I don't know. You guys agree?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So, anyways, with 3 minutes left, you've been listening to The Student of the Game. You will catch us every Monday. Well, starting again in March, you will catch us. You'll catch us on Monday nights starting next March. I'm in the middle of doing it. You hear me? I love you. Guys are awesome.
I got it.
Who needs producers? I got these dudes. Yes. Starting in March, we will be back at 7:30 Eastern. In the meantime, I believe you'll be listening to more of Penny rocking some NASCAR action, and also the Outside Pitch Show will bring you a little bit more time while we are on hiatus. So, you know, for those who are fans of baseball and NASCAR, that will actually be in season during the early month. Well, not in season, but in spring training, and a lot more relevant than football will be. You'll definitely have them to listen to. That's a lot of good radio if you happen to be fans of those sports. I personally am not, but hey, I guess that's my loss. At any rate, later tonight at 10 Eastern, you'll hear me on the Football Reporters Online presents the NFL West Recess. We'll be talking more Super Bowl. And, of course, Thursday night, 9 Eastern, be the Football Reporters Online main show. And then 10 Eastern on Saturday, you'll have me as well on the Sports Chronicles radio show, the flagship show for the Sports Chronicles Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at the SOTG. And as always, you can shoot us an email. TheSOTG@gmail.com. With 90 seconds left, Chris, I'll give you the chance to open up first. Any final thoughts?
Not right now. Just National Signing Day is on Wednesday for college players. So you might see an article from me posted on Sports Chronicles on grading UCF.
Pretty solid. I'll try to get that up on the Student of the Game side as well as Football Reporters. Exactly. Weasel.
Epic Super Bowl. Thought it didn't look good in the first half, but it really was a great game.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. How spoiled we are as fans in this past decade with good Super Bowls is ridiculous. The days of 55-10 are gone in the Super Bowl, knock on wood. But last year's was good. The Packers and the Steelers one was close for a while. The other Super Bowl with the
Saints.
The Saints Super Bowl was good, right. Yeah. The last one where we had the Giants and the Patriots, that was good. I mean, the last lopsided Super Bowl I can think of from the hip is Steelers-Seahawks. There may be another one, but you know I'm not doing the research. Anyways, so, gentlemen, with 30 seconds left, well, since it's the end of the year and everything, you know, I'll go ahead and let call dismiss class a little early. So, gentlemen, three-way tie, still undefeated in study hall. Can't wait for next year. See you guys in the first Monday of March, ready to rock it. Class dismissed.